Well, I think it's been good. I think the bye week came at a really good time for us as a team, obviously, but also for us offensively. We were a little nicked up there, so it's good to get Schrader back. Obviously, this is just giving more time for Mo and Julio to continue to get healthy. And then it was a good chance for us through four games to really assess where we're at and take some time as we're coming back here to focus on some things we really think we can improve.
What are some of the things you all can improve on? We've been writing about what we think.
Right.
What about you?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think one, our play action pass game is a big part of what we do. And, to make sure we're really in sync and efficient in the play pass game is critical for us moving forward. Third downs, we're always trying to get better. We're trying to, find those ways to convert those medium to long third downs to extend drives, which is a big deal. And then ultimately, we always want to be perfect in the red zone. And so, you really dissect the drives that maybe didn't go the way we wanted to. And then look at the drives that did, and to ensure our success rate of scoring touchdowns in the red zone is where we want to be.
I know Coach Mularkey used to say 65. I see Green Bay's at 78. What's a good red zone number?
Well, I mean, I think ideally, if you can score a touchdown 3 out of 4 times that you're really in the red zone, you are really rolling. I mean, you're doing tremendous. I think if you're at 65%, the average number over the past few years in the NFL is you're top 5 in the league if you're about 65% scoring touchdowns in the red area. So, if we're shooting for 3 out of 4 times in the red area scoring touchdowns, that's a really, really good efficiency, and we'll be right there probably the top of the league.
Coach, I'm sorry. I missed your first part or whatever. But when you look back at the first quarter,
right,
from your standpoint, what did you learn about,
right,
your play calling or whatever you went through for the first 4
Well,
games?
I think for me, one of the biggest things for me was actually getting into the flow of the game with all of our guys. We went through all of spring relatively limited, with not having all of the pieces to the engine going. And then obviously in the preseason, as much as we went through training camp with everybody on the practice field, actual games in the preseason, we were relatively limited with our first offense, with having Julio and Mo and Free being out at times. And so the early part of the season was just getting into the flow for me of having all of our guys going and the substitution patterns and really finding the rhythm of when certain guys get fatigued. What is Free's threshold on carries? What's T. Cole's threshold on numerous carries within a drive? How does Julio respond to running a deep ball? Does he come back in? Does he go out? Those are things that you don't really know until you get into the flow of calling plays. But I thought all in all we were really efficient. Of course we'd like to be better. I think the last two games, nobody's happy with 6 turnovers in the last 2 games. And, however you slice them, however they happen, tip balls, whatever that may be, that's not okay for our standard here. And so that's a big point of emphasis as well.
How did you reflect back on that last play against Buffalo to move forward to,
right,
say, hey, when we're in this situation,
right,
again, this is how we might want to handle that?
Well, I think, like anything, that game was unique in when you lose Julio and you lose Mo in the first half, things adjust and guys are playing some different spots and whatnot. I think at the end of the day, when you get in that situation, you call the best call that puts your players in the best position to be successful. And we really felt like that call gave us an opportunity to have a run-pass option to get 2 of our better players at wide receiver an opportunity, if they were going to single coverage them, to go win. And if they were going to not play single coverage, to have a chance to run the football with Tevin or Free, whichever one happened to be in the game, which was T. Cole at the time. So all in all, that type of call is going to be pretty standard for us. I mean, that's going to be something we do. Not exactly that scheme, but something along those lines. And so you always look back at calls, and I've said this before to you guys, there's going to be games when things may look great, and I'm still going to go back and look at 5, 6, 7 calls and go, I might do this one a little different, I might do that one a little different. But you put in the time, you prepare. We've got a great offensive staff that works really hard and has great ideas and prepares our players well, and then you trust your preparation. And that's what we did in that instance. It didn't work. The goal is next time that it does.
Couple more things. The communication, you talked about being on the sideline and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me maybe an instance that showed you why that was so valuable through the first 4 games? You're like, hey, this is exactly why I want to be down there.
Well, I think that the biggest thing for us is it's not even so much always the dialogue. The dialogue's important. But it's just along the lines of communication, as far as there may be something in drive that I can relay to Matt Schaub and he could get to Matt Ryan on. You know, so much of my time in between drives is focused on what are we going to do next based on what we've done, what they're doing to combat what we're doing. Okay, now where are we headed? That sometimes those subtle discussions don't always happen face-to-face. Sometimes they happen indirectly through a third person. Sometimes it's very briefly pointing at a picture and moving on. So, you know, I don't know. I think back and looking back at that first game when I was in the box, there's some value to that too about seeing the game. So I don't know if there's an exact right way or wrong way to call plays. Again, I think it's a feel thing and what best suits you and the team, and then ultimately what is in the best interest of the team to be as successful as we can be.
And last thing for me, has there been anything now being with these NFL, I'm looking at these NFL defenses and stuff, mm-hmm. has there been anything that you've changed about how you approach studying and getting the game plan ready?
Well, I think the biggest thing about this league here is it's very personnel driven in the NFL, and whether how we assess defenses, how defenses assess us, when we put a certain personnel grouping on the field, how defenses try to match that personnel grouping. I think a lot of times in college football, you try to get your best 11 players on the field, and then you respond through scheme on what opponents are giving you. In the National Football League, people are trying to match what you're doing. So if we're in two backs and a tight end and two wide receivers, generally we get a base defense. When we go to that third wide receiver set, it's almost automatic. We get nickel defenses. So I think that's a little bit of a shift. I'm not saying it's harder or easier, but that's just the nature of this league, is that people generally match your personnel of whatever you put on the field.
Coach, you mentioned losing Julio and Mo in that game and talking about personnel. What kind of challenges does it present to you as an offensive coordinator when you're developing a game plan while the status of two key guys are still kind of up in the air?
Well, I just think you're very specific in stuff that you know you'd like to have them in on if they're playing in the game. And then you got to make sure you have the majority of your call sheet is something that no matter who's in the game, we can go out and operate and execute. I'd much rather be in this situation I'm in this week rather than you plan all week when you have two guys and then you lose them. You know, that's when we're scrambling, and that's when we really have to work on game day to make sure that everybody's up to speed with plays that they probably haven't practiced all week.
And then looking at Miami's defense, Rashad Jones is a player who has been a really good safety for his
yes.
entire career in the NFL. What have you seen from him on film, and what kind of challenges does he present?
Well, I think he's a complete player, and that's probably the best compliment I can give him, because he can do a lot of things. He can play man-to-man coverage, which he does a lot of on wide receivers. He can blitz the quarterback, which they do a lot of them with. He fills the run really well, and he can play deep safety. And so he's a very versatile guy. He's complete at what he does. And then the last piece to his game, in my opinion, is he's got a really high football IQ. He's aware of the things that are going on around him. He's aware of schemes as they start to develop. And so he's a heck of a player. He's definitely the leader in their back end.
Coach, Austin Hooper, how's he played for you thus far? And we've been able to lean on him more here as he gets into his first year as a starter.
I think Austin has really developed for us. You know, obviously in week one, I mean, you know, he makes two of probably the biggest plays of the game. Both third down conversions, one for the touchdown and one for another big conversion to get points out of a drive. I think Austin provides a lot of versatility at that position for us with his pass catching ability, run blocking, the stuff we do with him in pass protection. And so all in all, I think Austin's best days are still ahead of him. He's still growing, but he's come a long way, and he is somebody that we're going to lean on. You know, I think he's somebody that, you know, with all the focus and attention on Devontae and Tevin, with all the focus and attention on Julio and Mo and Gabe, now all of a sudden Austin is getting some real opportunities and some one-on-one scenarios that you know, we need to try to take advantage of.
You talked about getting Ryan Schrader back. What do you like most?
Well, I think what he brings to us, one, is he brings a mentality. He's a physical type player. He really finishes plays. He plays with great effort. I go back to before he gets hurt against Green Bay. It's one of the earlier runs in the game. He just has a tremendous block on the backside, flatbacks the man he's blocking, and really just kind of sets the tone and the mentality of how we like to play attacking style football. So he embodies all those traits. He's a savvy guy. You know, he understands what he's doing now. I mean, his development at the position, you can see his growth. and his athleticism is there. And so all in all, I think he's really just fitting what he brings physically, but more importantly, I think what he brings mentally, the mentality he brings to the game and in that huddle is big for us.
How do you feel the running backs are doing with pickup?
I think we're doing well. I mean, we've seen quite a bit of variety from a pressure standpoint. Tevin had a tremendous block last week up in the A-gap of picking up a blitzer. And so, you know, we don't major in those guys having to fit up pressures and fit up blitzes. We like the threat of them coming out of the backfield. But when we ask them to do those things and they step up and do it, it is discouraging to a defense. And I think it also picks up from a teammate standpoint. If I'm an offensive lineman or I'm Matt Ryan and I see Tevin Coleman step up in the A-gap and pick up a blitz so we can convert a third down to Nick Williams, that goes a long way in that locker room. And that means a lot to those guys that our runners aren't just concerned with about the touches they get, but they're playing the whole game for the team and for the brotherhood, which is pretty cool.